To Joe's family and friends, I want to tell you how much we thank you for sharing Joe with us here at Holy Family. I said to his daughter the other day, thank you for sharing Joe. And she said, oh, I don't think we could have stopped him, which was a fine point. But we just thank the Lord for him. And I'm so grateful that just for a few years, I got to be a part of his life as his priest. All week, I have wrestled with this homily. This is Joe, yeah? I mean, the only 100-year-old man in the world who, when he died, I was like, really? I always told him, Joe, you're going to be at my funeral. And of course, I got the lecture about sardines. Yeah, do you know this? Yeah, okay. Sardines, a glass of wine, and a good book. And I said, Joe, I'll take death over sardines. And I hope you don't mind. It's funny. I had said, I'm not going to tell this story, but I have no discipline. So I'm going to tell you this story. And someone's phone rang at the beginning, and this is why I thought, Joe wants me to tell this story, and here it goes. I'd been the priest here for, I think, about a day, and, nobody knew me yet, and I didn't know anybody. What I know is I was praying one of my first masses here, and someone's phone rang. And I didn't stop myself, which is not unusual, and I said, whoever that is, if it's my wife, I'm not here. Which, it's one of those where it came out of my mouth and I was like, don't do that, but it was too late. That's as hard as I made Joe laugh, ever. There were parishioners who were horrified, and rightly so. And there was Joe who literally had tears. He was laughing so hard. And I thought, I'll be all right. If you don't mind, just another quick one. Father Lay moved here a few years ago in what was one of the best things to ever happen to this parish. Father Lay, for those of you who don't know, he's from Fiji. He works here with me. He's a beautiful holy priest, and him and Joe were scary close. And one of the things, Father Lay loves Jesus, he loves his family, and he loves golf. And I'm not entirely clear on the order. But he told me shortly after he moved here, he says, brother, a man challenged me to a golf game, and I think he's very old. I said, was it Joe Dunn or was it Earl Hagen? Because I knew, and he said it was Joe, and I said, Lay, you're dead. You're going to lose. And he told me, he says, at first I kind of laid back. And he says, he murdered me. Father Lay can't be here, and I can't tell you how much that breaks his heart. He loved Joe. I love Joe, but he can't be here. And we talked again last night, and just he wants you to know he loved him. And Joe loved Lay. There it is. So I got to tell you, it's a little hard to use the phrase, Joe was a parishioner. You know what I mean? It's like saying Arnold Palmer played some golf. It's accurate, but it really doesn't begin to cover it. Joe wasn't just a parishioner at Holy Family. In a lot of ways, in my heart, Joe was Holy Family. Us priests, we come and go. We are utterly replaceable, praise God. But we're going to miss this man. We're going to miss him. And if Joe heard me say that, he would not be pleased. But he kind of can't stop me now. He would hate anyone saying Joe is Holy Family, but man, Joe's Holy Family. And I love, love, love. I don't know which of you put this, but that in Joe's obit it says he was a servant to Holy Family. I've been a priest 26 years. I'm still not very good at it, but I've been blessed to play hundreds of funerals. I've never read that before about someone. They were a servant of their church. I want to be clear, the church, when done right, will meet anyone, anywhere. If we do this Jesus thing right, everyone knows this is your home. And we all go through stages in our life. There's stages in our life where we can help the church, and there's stages in our life where we just can't. There's stages where we're givers, there's stages where we're takers, and there's no shame in that. That's how it's supposed to work. But to look at Joe, I think of this. Here's one of the things. I see some of his friends here from Wednesday. On Wednesday, confessions are supposed to start at 11:15 p.m. So Father Lay and I, we show up at 5. We started this, and we'll do our evening prayer together, then we go hear confessions. But when we started getting here at 5, the line was already going. People hear sin. Holy cow, just so you know. The line was already going, so we said, well, and then eventually we moved our prayer to 4:45 so we can start confessions at 5 because there's so many people. We're talking about 4:30 now. But all this to say, every Wednesday, this beautiful group is sitting right here praying their rosary. And they're praying that rosary for all of us. All of us, every one of you sitting here, they're praying for you and for me. And I would be lost without those prayers. You would be lost without those prayers. You think about when you and I were little, or as a fat kid, so when I was young, thank you. We were super dependent on people, and we were so dependent we didn't even know it. We had no idea of how much we were propped up by mom and dad. And I think as adults now, it's easy for us to forget how propped up we are by prayers for people like Joe, who sit here and take time out of their day to turn off lights in the church. Joe did have grave concerns about our electric bill. Sorry. I do remember one time, Lay, again, after Joe murdered him at golf, I said, oh, Lay, you don't know about The Greatest Generation? I said, they're just, that's the title, The Greatest Generation. And I said, they have a few traits. One, they don't lose at anything. They don't quit. They don't complain. And they all have their first communion money somewhere under a pillow. But anyway, I swear he did that. Come, Holy Spirit, I'm sorry. So Joe was a servant of our beautiful parish, and we are so blessed. He was not a taker. He was a giver. And one of the best things he gave was that beautiful, prayerful heart. He went to confession. I didn't know people that old really had sins, and I told him that. I'm like, Joe, this is a skill. But he trusted on and needed the Lord's mercy, and I love that about him. I love that he never quit fighting to be better. I'm blessed. My dad lives with me. He's 87. And I constantly am telling him, Dad, relax, you got the job. You know, you don't have anything to prove to anyone. But Joe was that guy too, in the sense of, they're not trying to prove anything. They're trying to be better. And there's no room in their heart for spiritual contentment. I'm going to be more holy today than I was yesterday. I love that he never gave up that fight. I saw that again, that Joe was a servant of Holy Family, and I just thought how perfect that is. But why would I be surprised? Joe was a servant. He served as God. He served his country. He served his family with a deep love, with a scary, sharp mind, with a wonderful humor, and a depth of prayer that moves me. And I know you know this, but I want you to know everyone knows it. Joe was rare. He was a rare man. He was a treasure, and we're going to miss him so much. I'll miss him praying his rosary. I'll miss him praying Mass. I'll miss his great stories. I miss how inquisitive he was. I'll miss the discussions when he read a book or an article and we were going to have a discussion. I miss that. I love how he loved to brag on his kids. I love how he was so faithful to the Eucharist and to our Blessed Mother. He, as you know, was extraordinary, and I only knew him 5 years, but you know how it goes. You kind of feel like you knew him forever, and you wonder, what did I ever do before I knew him? I know you know these things, but I want to tell you something I think you know, but I really want to convince you of it, and that's this, that something Joe believed with his whole heart, and that's that we can hope today. I think when we receive extraordinary news, the easiest thing and the first response is often to disbelieve it. And the news that heaven is a possibility for any of us is so extraordinary. The idea that one day we'll all be together in heaven again, and that we won't have to cry anymore. That we won't have to pray for things that we need or want anymore. I know how extraordinary that sounds. But I'm telling you, you can believe it. And not because any of us here somehow earned heaven, but because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, you and I have hope. And I'm telling you, Joe knew Jesus. Jesus knew Joe. And they worked together and made the world a better place around them. Have hope. It's not just a possibility. It's what Jesus wants more than you or I want anything. So we're here. We're grateful. We're brokenhearted. We've got a million stories tucked away in our hearts. And I pray nothing takes those stories from you. But more than that, I pray that the stories and the joy of all of it feed your hope. That Jesus Christ, who Joe loved, and who loved Joe with an intensity you and I can't understand, that because of that, Jesus, heaven is a possibility that we're all going to strive for. We're all going to seek to know Jesus better so that death doesn't get the final word in our case. You heard that beautiful reading from Isaiah. Where 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet told us, God told us through the prophet, there will be a day that gray curtain will be lifted. We will see clearly and we will rejoice because love has won, love is winning, and love will win. Amen.